Good morning and welcome. I want to take some time and go to prayer before the Lord and petition Him for our needs and our in our congregation and in your families. There are some needs that are listed in the bulletin, if you'll take note, and just want to go before Him and just ask His blessing during this time of year. Father, we do come before You because You are the great God who has created all things. You're majestic, You're holy. You have created everything just by the word of Your mouth. You have lifted us from the dust, and You have offered us life. And so this morning, Father, we come before You to worship You, to give You honor and praise for coming as a child, that through Christ we might know life and that we might have it abundantly. Father, You know the needs in everyone's hearts here. There's needs for healing and for peace, for strength, for encouragement. And each of those things You offer us through Your word and through Your spirit and through one another. So, Father, in the midst of the struggles that some are facing, Father, I pray that You would be glorified in how we come together as community and care for one another. So, Father, may Your power be evident in the lives of our congregation, that You might be glorified in all things. We bring these things to You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in various passages this morning. We're going to be looking at Mary and her life as she raised this young man. Now, Christmas time is a time of celebration, a time of joy, but for even a lot of people during this time, it isn't, because of things that have happened in their lives, things that have been painful, maybe that have happened during this time of life, a death, a loss of some kind. We're going to be looking at the tender heart of a mother, and so we'll be talking about motherhood, and I know that that's a hard topic for some who don't have children, who can't have children, and so we want to acknowledge that this morning, that in that pain of your life, God truly loves you and will bless you as well, and so as we go into the scriptures, we go with joy and celebration, but yet looking at the reality of this young lady, Mary. Now, motherhood is something I just don't get, all right? I don't understand it. I don't get it. You know, pregnancy, you know, it just happens. And then there's motherhood. And it's so much more involved. And so for you guys and me, we don't understand it. We'll never get it. So I thought, before we get into the tender heart of a mother, that we should hear from mothers, because they will help to explain for us men what it really means like. So I asked four mothers in the congregation, and they were so willing to be interviewed. And so this is the first part of three segments of this interview.
She gave me life, showed me what was right, taught me not to fight the battles that weren't worth the fight. Right from the start, she held me close, and as time went on, she was strong enough to let me go. There's nothing change her love for you. When the world comes crashing down, her love will pull you back.
Going to be because I feel like, especially since I have other kids, I've realized all their personalities are so different and, you know, how they behave. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like with each one that curiosity almost becomes more because I just know that they're going to be different. And I think also thinking, okay, how am I going to take on one more too is another thing, but you're always just curious. What are they going to look like? What are their personalities going to be? That kind of thing.
Yeah, so we were so excited when we found out that we were pregnant with her and just a lot of, like, wonder about who she was going to be. And it's weird feeling a baby move in your stomach, but you can't meet them or touch them. And, with our situation, it was a little bit unique because at her 20-week ultrasound, we found out she had some extra fluid in her brain. So we had to see some specialists, and we got a lot of different opinions. So after that, we went through a lot of emotion, like worry, fear, grief. But overall, then in the end, we just really had to learn to trust on God, and we ended up experiencing, like, such an amazing amount of peace from God and just knowing that he or she was in his hands. And
well, we didn't want to know what her gender was yet, so she was little baby E until she was born. And even though we didn't know what she was other than a baby, it was still really special to be pregnant with her. And sometimes there was a little resentment when she kicked me in the ribs, but most of the time it was just very special, and I was just glad I was going to be a mama.
I was really just shocked that I was pregnant and that she was on our way. And we didn't find out, of course, until we could find out what she was. But I was just mostly really excited and just really scared of just, you know, can we be parents? Can we do this? Are we good enough? You know, just kind of all those random real feelings.
It's hard to explain because it's just you're finally meeting this person, and I've always felt like it's interesting that they seem to know you. There's kind of, you know, I really, with each of my kids, I feel like when I spoke to them the first time, it's like it's really gotten their attention to where they really have, you know, recognized my voice through the pregnancy, and that's been something that's special.
It was amazing. It was such a relief to hear her first cry, and so much joy. I mean, Tom and I both cried tears of happiness.
Sure. So when I got to see her for the first time, I just was just beyond excited and just blessed that the Lord did entrust her to us.
And her beautiful blue eyes just met mine, and it was great. It was like, wow.
But I feel like if they have Christ as their foundation, they can get through that. And that's really, it's helped me. So I want that for them.
I mean, my prayer has always been that her life would bring God the most glory that it can. And so ultimately, like, my dream is that she will love the Lord and trust him.
Well, my biggest hope is that she will come to know Jesus as her Savior. And kind of along with that, that's my biggest fear, is that she won't come to know him. Because that's something that's very important. And I just hope that she can be happy, of course, but mostly that she comes to know the Lord.
Just as a woman of integrity, just that she pursues the Lord wholeheartedly, just that she surpasses Matt's and my love for the Lord, that she loves them more, and just that she's confident and can bring joy to people. And
I would say unique.
Probably a miracle or crazy.
Yeah.
Joy.
The tender heart of a mother. Well, when we go into the scriptures then, this kind of gives us a framework a little bit, men, that of what women think and feel about their baby for the first time. Well, we go to the scriptures in Luke chapter 1, and we're talking about Mary, and the first thing that we have is this angel visiting her. And he came to her, the angel, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, it kind of interests me to know whether Mary knew or not whether this was an angel at first. Because he appears to her, and it would have been very unusual for a man to approach a young woman by herself. And so that was one thing that was kind of odd about the passage. The other thing is that she's troubled, which the word troubled means agitated in her mind. And so she's agitated, troubled, but she doesn't seem to be afraid. She's troubled about this greeting. Now, the angel's appearance to her wasn't fearful. She wasn't fearful when he appears, but later he reassures her not to be fearful about the message. She was troubled by this greeting. And what was the greeting? "You have found favor with the Lord." Now, I kind of wonder if when Mary heard that, would she have thought of Gideon in the Old Testament, where it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" You see, why would she be troubled? Because the Spirit of the Lord he rested on prophets and kings and judges. He didn't rest on lowly peasant girls. And so it troubled her. Why would this person, this angel, come to me and say that I am favored of God? And so what does she do? She starts to discern. Now, this says something about Mary. Mary is someone who contemplates and is discerning, and she treasures things and she thinks about things. And so when she hears this, she treasures it. She starts to discern what it means. But then what happens is she get the message comes. And he says to her again, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Now, I would have thought that would have been the first thing he'd say. You know, angel, boom, is right there. Don't be afraid. It's not. Because his appearance is not what was fearful. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have been found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Do not be afraid, not of the angel's presence, but of his message. Do not be afraid of what people will think of your reputation. Do not be afraid of your parents' disappointment. Do not be afraid of your betrothed's anger. Do not be afraid of the magnitude of what God is calling you to. Do not be afraid, because you have found favor with the Lord." Now, what's interesting, when we listen to the mothers and they had dreams for their babies, every mother has dreams for their babies, especially their firstborn. By the time they get to the third, they're just like, "Oh, I hope he just survives, you know." But that first one, they have lots of hopes. They have lots of dreams. And even before they're pregnant, a lot of girls will be thinking about, especially if you're a young Jewish girl at the time of Jesus, you were thinking about getting married and having children. And you're mapping out your whole life. But when the angel comes to Mary, he changes all that for her. Whatever dreams, whatever hopes she had for her firstborn were thrown out the window when this angel came. He says, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son." And then he maps out what this will be like for her. "And you shall call his name Jesus." Right there is a complete change. Because her betrothed, Joseph, would have been the one to have chosen the name. And maybe he would have chosen one to be his own name, or maybe his father's name. But the reality is that the father of Jesus did choose his name. And his name was Jesus. The father chose the name. And then he maps it out further and he says, "He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High." And I got to be thinking at that time, you know, that she's thinking, well, what does it mean that my son is going to be the Son of the Most High? That God is going to be his father. and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So he's going to have a throne, a kingdom, and this kingdom is going to last and be established forever. And as Mary's sitting there listening to this, the whole statement of do not be afraid makes sense. Do not be afraid that what you plan for your child has been changed by God. And the call he has called you to is greater than you could ever imagine and more fearful in its responsibility. Do not be afraid, this young and tender mother. Then Mary asks a question. Now, this is interesting to me because of all the questions she asks, I don't get it. How's it going to happen? I'm a virgin. She is a very practical person. That's the only thing I can think about at Mary at this point. She's very practical. She didn't say, but I'm not worthy. She didn't say, but if you do this, my reputation will be stained. Or she didn't even say, I'm too young and inexperienced. She says, how is it going to work if this is going to happen? And of course, the angel replies and says, look, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be called holy, the Son of God. And in case she doesn't, you know, she has any doubt, he is now going to give her an example of how it's already happened. And behold, your relative, your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So what you think is impossible, it's not with God. Because nothing is impossible with God. It's a statement. It's a statement of fact. It's not a promise. It's not a promise to us. Nothing is impossible for God, and Mary would be a virgin mother. But he is not promising that every woman will have a child. He's not promising that every sickness would be healed. He's not promising that every child will be obedient. The angel is merely stating that whatever God says or promises, no matter how unlikely or incomprehensible, it is never beyond his ability. He promised Mary, and he would accomplish it. He would accomplish it. So whatever God has promised, he will fulfill. We just have to be careful about laying on God promises that he never, never gave us. Well, Mary said, behold, and this is her response. This is her response. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What a tender heart. What a glorious moment for her. It will be done. Willing obedience of a humanly impossible event. That is faith. She didn't doubt. She wasn't afraid. She had questions, but she was not questioning. And then he was gone. And I kind of wonder what Mary did. Did she run and tell her mother? How about her best friend? Did she go and whisper it in her ear? Did she start making lists and planning and getting things in order? Even at her young age, she would be prepared. But all Luke says is that in those days, what days? In those days in which her cousin had gotten pregnant, she left in haste. Those days when she started to show, those days when the pregnancy was going to be evident, what did she do? She went in haste to her cousin and lived there. Her betrothed wouldn't understand. Her father would be embarrassed. Her mother distraught. And people would walk by shaking their heads. Where is that Joseph? And how could he have done such a thing? What a burden laid on such a young girl. The heartache at trying to explain the inexplicable, the secret she would hold away from others who walked by, and then off to her cousin in haste, off to her cousin for encouragement, off to her cousin with these words. And Elizabeth saw her and her baby leapt in her womb. And she said, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Believe. Blessed. Fulfillment. Did Mary understand these words? Were they a comfort in her distress? I think they were. I think so. To have someone who believed her, to speak to her about her future and about the hope that about this baby, about children. She was blessed because she believed. And later on, Jesus would say to his disciples, do you believe in God? Believe in me. But it's one thing to believe she carried a child by the blessing of God. It's another thing to believe that he would be the savior of mankind. How often are we asked to believe? But we take matters into our own hands. Don't get me wrong, faith is not letting go and letting God. That's just bad theology. Faith is action in the face of the impossible. As a new young youth pastor in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the senior pastor came to me and said, Paul, if you want to make it in the evangelical world, you need a master's degree from a seminary. Now, right or wrong, it put me in an awkward position with the pastor. So Rebecca and I went to the Lord and we prayed about this, and so we decided that God was calling us to go to Dallas Seminary. And so what we did was we packed everything up. We packed up all of our belongings, which wasn't very much. We packed up our firstborn, our dog, and our cat, and we set out for Dallas. Now, all of our things had been picked up in a moving van, and we're going to stay in storage until we found a place. Well, we got to the seminary and sat in the common area, and I was looking at the newspaper trying to find a place to live, and the housing market was so horrible. It was so expensive, I just wept. I was overwhelmed by what was impossible. And at that moment, there was a voice that came from behind me, and it wasn't God, but it was Dean Woodward. Dean Woodward was this very tall, skinny, red-headed guy who we knew from college, from Bible college. And he comes up and he says, hey, Paul. And I looked at him and I said, hey, Dean. And he came over and sat with us. And he'd been at seminary for a while, and he took us all around town that day looking for apartments and found a government-subsidized apartments and got us in. And he gave me tips to a job, and I was able to find work. You see, God took what was impossible for me, but though we acted in faith and going, he provided the impossible made possible. Interesting, though, that most of the time that he makes possible those things that are impossible through his people. We find encouragement through the word, power through the spirit, but it is through his body, his church, oftentimes the impossible becomes possible because God works through us and in us. You see, Mary believed God. And he made the impossible possible. So Mary sings the song. After Elizabeth makes her statement, she sings a song and she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Now we honor Mary, and there are traditions that venerate her for this very purpose. Because she was to be honored throughout all generations. She wasn't to be worshipped. She wasn't perfect. She was just humble. She was a peasant girl, unworthy of God. It made me think of Proverbs 3:34 that says, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, he shows his favor with us and on us. How often do we seek God's favor, but not in humility, but with demands? Well, God, if you're real, then show me this. Well, God, if you're loving, why would you allow fill in the blank? If you're really here, God, show yourself. You see, we put demands on God's actions. We don't go to him in humility. But if we do, God looks down at us in favor. Do not be afraid. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told us. So we're fast forwarding here a long way, okay, 9 months. And they are now going from Nazareth, and they're going to Bethlehem. And they get to Bethlehem, and out in the mountains, there are some shepherds watching over their sheep. And they are minding their own business when the sky is filled with angels singing glory to God, peace on earth. And of course, they receive this message that if they go to Jerusalem, they're going to find, or if they go to Bethlehem, they're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, if an angel came to you and the host of them showed up, do you think you're going to do what they said? Yeah. And so they did. They went and they found the baby. And they oohed and awed over him. And afterwards, they went around and they told everybody. They woke up the town. They declared the good news of this baby to the people in Bethlehem. And when Mary saw all this, and she heard it, and wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Because that's what Mary did. She had a very tender heart towards her newborn. But even though we have hopes and dreams, in a mother's heart holding her newborn, there are often fears as well. And so we asked our four young mothers this question.
I really think that it would be them falling away from their faith or turning from God, and especially having it be something that me or Ryan did as parents. I think, you know, you're always kind of worried. There's that fine line where, okay, we want to teach them and guide them. And
I probably think a lot about, like, people, her getting hurt. Fear that she'll get hurt someday.
Probably that she would get sick and something bad would happen, and that sort of thing.
And we've just talked about taking it one day at a time, and so I've thought of her life as a whole, but just the worry in me, I just have to keep it simple and just kind of go one day at a time. So right now it's keeping her alive.
Yeah, I definitely think, especially with the ones that are in school, is kind of wondering, like, okay, how are they acting during the day when I'm away? And friendships and, any kind of friction they might be having with friends or just different kids in the classroom. You know, you want your kids to be loved and accepted and fit in, but that's just, you know, that doesn't happen. There's going to be hard times. So especially with my oldest, that was really hard to kind of swallow, because you have that mama bear come out in you where it's like, who's not gonna like my kid? Because we think that they're just amazing. So, well, most of the time, but yeah.
I think when I'm not with her and not knowing where she's at or who she's with or if she's okay, if she's safe, those are probably the things I'll lie in bed and think about.
Just anytime she would question her identity. You know, there's lots of things to question these days. Question your sexuality, question your faith, just question who she is as a person. And those are all really hard things to think about and really hard things to talk about in general, let alone, you know, with your own kid.
I think just, you know, I kind of just thought about it and, you know, the usual of just, like, who will she surround herself with? You know, I hope she's intentional with building strong friendships with girls and women that are hopefully believers that can refine each other. And, you know, just what will she be wise? Will she, you know, be kind to others? Just when Matt and I aren't around, you know, what's her character?
So what did Mary think as she dreamed ahead, as she starts hearing these messages from all these different people? And I think that she started to have this torn heart. As tender as it was towards her newborn, she had some very heavy things to think about. And the child, this is Zechariah's song, and this is a response to really the promise of God to him and Elizabeth to have their son John the Baptist. And you, child, talking about John, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. What would Mary have thought if she heard that statement? That John was going to go prepare a way for Jesus who would be for the people and the forgiveness of their sins. Now, after the baby's born, and they move then back to Nazareth. And while they're in Nazareth, we don't know really how long it has been. It's been maybe up to 2 years. But in the east, in the east, there were these men who were wise men, is what we call them, wise men. And they had been studying the scriptures. And they had been looking at the stars. And what they had discerned was that the king of the Jews was going to be born in Bethlehem or around that area. And so they saw the star and they followed it. And when they got there, they went straight to King Herod. And they said, "Hey, Herod, we just realized that the king of the Jews is going to be born." Now, if you're King Herod and you're ruthless like he was, that's not good news. And so he wants to know where this king of the Jews is. And so he tells the wise men, "Well, you go look for him. Yeah, after you worship him, come back and tell me about it. I want to go worship him too." And so they go on and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And in the process, they give them these gifts, these wonderful gifts. But they have a dream. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. I wonder if Mary knew that. I think she did. I think she understood that they were a little bit distraught about going back to Herod, and so they left and went a different way. Well, after they left, another angel came to Joseph in a vision and said, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him.'" What would you think of as a young mother if an angel came to your husband and said, "Look, Herod's trying to find your child and kill him"? What a heavy burden that God had laid on this young mother. So they leave. Not only did they have to run in fear of what Herod was trying to do, they left everything they owned. But in God's providence, he had just given them very expensive gifts. And that would carry them through their time in Egypt. They flew to Egypt. And they had, now there was a very large Jewish community in Egypt at the time, so they weren't alone in terms of their own people. But family wasn't there. There was no Skype. They were all alone. What a heavy burden on such a young mother. Well, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. And so not only did Mary bear the burden of Herod trying to kill her own son, if she had heard this, she bore that as well. Is it my fault because I had this boy that these mothers were deprived of their babies? What a heavy burden for such a young mother to bear. But yet God had called her to this, and he would supply her needs. What a torn heart. Now, they did come back. They did come back eventually. Herod had died, and so God had told them to come back, and they went again back to Nazareth. And they were living there, and they decided to have Jesus dedicated, and so they take him to the temple. And in the temple, they walk in, and this old lady's there, and she blesses Jesus. And when she blesses him, this is what the scripture says. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. It was a blessing. It was a really nice blessing. But that's when Simeon walks up. Simeon's another older man who was living around the temple waiting for the salvation of God to come before he died. So Simeon comes on and he blesses the child as well. He says, "Blessed them," and said to Mary, the mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel." Not the kind of blessing you want someone to give your child. And for a sign that is opposed, and he says this, "And a sword will pierce through your soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." He blesses the child as someone who is going to bring the rise and fall of many, but her soul will be pierced. What a heavy burden on such a young mother. It almost doesn't seem fair. But it's what God had called this young righteous woman to. So later on, it's still back at Tornhart. Later on, they go, when Jesus is older, they take him to the temple. He's now going to be an adult, and they're going to probably do some ritual to bring him into adulthood. And he goes there, and after it's all finished, they all leave. And as they're going, because they came in their large groups, large family groups, and as they're going, the parents are looking around, Mary and Joseph looking around for Jesus, and they can't find him. So they go back to where they last saw him, and that was in the temple, and they find him talking with the priests. And so, and as he said to them, Jesus, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" As soon as he says that, I can imagine Joseph just going, "He knows I'm not his father." And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. You see, he knew something. Jesus was aware of what was starting to happen. And Mary treasured it, kept it, locked it in her vault to bring back and remember in the days to come. Now Jesus grows up. He's baptized by John. He goes to a wedding. And his mom must be part of the wedding party or part of helping to plan it, because they run out of wine. And so Mary comes to Jesus and she says, "Hey, son, I know what you can do. We need more wine." I mean, you kind of wonder if Mary asked those kind of questions earlier on. "Oh, Jesus, we're out of butter." "I'm usually sent to the store." So he goes, but he looks to her and he says, "Woman?" Wow. If I told my wife that, it wouldn't be good. "What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now he's obedient, and so he does what he is told. But it was another point in time in which Mary is confronted with the reality of Jesus' mission. And I'm sure that it tore her heart. Well, as time goes on, Jesus is being confronted by the Pharisees. He's being confronted by the scribes. He's even been called demon-possessed. And probably they got a message from their local rabbi that says, "You know, you need to go get your son. He's a little crazy." And so she gets her boys together, all the sons that she had after Jesus, and said, "We need to go get your brother." And so they go and find him, and they can't get in because the house is so full of people listening to his message. And while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother?" If you were Mary, what would that make you feel like? You think Joseph would have felt bad in the temple. Mary would have been crushed. Who is my mother? And her heart was torn again. And of course, Jesus is finally crucified. And that prophecy of a sword piercing her soul comes true in the worst way she could ever imagine. And the soldiers did these things, standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, much more tender than before, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. And Mary watched him die. A torn heart of a mother. Nobody here has experienced that kind of tearing. To know that your son had not only died on the cross, but it deep down knew that it was more excruciating than anybody could ever imagine. Now, of course, there was the resurrection. And the problem is that there's so many Marys in the New Testament. It's hard to know when Mary shows up at the tomb or if she ever does. But we know that she knew about the resurrection. And in that moment, all that torn, that heartache, that grief seemed to change. But what about our mothers? What do they look forward to with their own children?
Especially with us having a large family, like, I just really look forward to us all getting together and seeing, like, how many grandkids we can end up having. I want them to want to come back and to spend time with us and with each other and just really still have, like, just a really unique connection and really just also that gathering around our faith. And I just think that's really special. I've been blessed with our families, our extended families, that we have that. And it's just a really special thing that we're thankful for. And so I want that to continue. Yeah. And, yeah. But yeah, just a lot of family time.
She's a hard worker and that she doesn't give up. I hope that she has big dreams and that she doesn't live in fear. And that she definitely has a relationship with Jesus, and I know that she'll be in heaven one day.
I hope to see that she has a stronger faith than I did right now. I hope to see that she maybe has kids of her own and she's teaching them the ways of the Lord. And I really want to build a legacy of faith with her and any other potential children I have.
So hard. There's just so many things that I hope for her, and I hope I get to see, and, you know, how long do you have tonight? but yeah, I just hope, I don't know, I just hope that she, like I said, is full of character and God's character and comes to know him and pursues him.
For her, Joy, that's her middle name.
I would say Light. So when we gave her her name, we knew that Ellie meant shining light or God is my light.
Intentional.
With faithful.
Jesus had said before he had died, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. for I am leaving and going to prepare a place for you, and I will return and take you home. I like what Jessica said, you know, I just want them to come back. I'm sure Mary said the same thing, I just want him to come back. And he does. He rises from the dead, and in that moment, all the hopes and dreams that Mary could have ever wanted for her son came to fruition. In that moment, Christ conquers sin and death. And in that moment, there is hope for a future that is unimaginable. And he's going to come back. And he's going to take us home to be with him. You see, that's the hope. And that's the triumphant heart of a mother. You see, the only other time that we hear about Mary is in the book of Acts. And it says, all these were with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. You see, Mary and her other sons had come to understand that death was not the end. Sure, she had to go through a lot of torn hearts, but in the end, she was triumphant as a mother. And as people, as children of God, we are triumphant as well. We celebrate this Christmas season because of that triumph. We know the hope that is in us because of Christ Jesus. We celebrate the birthday of a child, but the greater celebration is at Easter. Because that is where the true hope ends up. In a resurrection from the dead. So at Christmas time, we go through these emotions of a tender and torn heart of a mother, but it ends in triumph. And so if you are here this morning and you don't have that hope, if you don't have that triumph of eternal life because you do not have faith in Jesus and what he has done on the cross for you, today is a time of decision for you, in which you could submit yourself freely to the will of God. And he will grant you forgiveness of your sins. Because Jesus has already taken it upon himself. So stand with me if you would. Let me pray as the... I'm not sure who's coming up. Come up. Father, we are grateful in this moment that we serve a living God, and that your son Jesus is alive and triumphant, sitting at your right hand, that he is calling each of us to repentance. He's calling each of us to faith. He's calling each of us to lay down our own will and to follow him. It's not an easy road, but it is a triumphant road. So, Father, if anyone here has not accepted Christ as their Savior, move their hearts that this day they will choose to follow you. And